The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and asked what is going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May grace and peace be to you in abundance, in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In my time of accompanying children and youth and parents in their faith journeys, I have had the joy to hear some curious and interesting questions. Why did God make mosquitoes? Did Jesus really get potty trained as fast as me? What is my purpose? Is God everywhere, even in the bathroom? Why do bad things happen? Did Jesus ever have acne? If Jesus doesn't have a sister, why do I need to have one? And our confirmation students today wondered the question, what does it mean to love our enemies? But the one that sticks out to me this whole entire week as I've been preparing this sermon for you is from a children's sermon all too long ago in my days at Peace Lutheran Church in Pasadena. Why did God create us to have children? Have you ever wondered that? Why God would have us being able to have children? For God could have created all of us all at once. Or if God felt so, God will just make us slowly throughout time, one at a time, or two at a time, or three at a time. But God created those first human beings all so long ago and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Our experience of raising our children as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, godparents, godly play teachers, day camp ministers, coaches, caring adults and mentors helps us to get a grasp on what this unconditional love that we talk about in this church. For our love of children is a special kind of love. We take great pride in what our children's accomplishments are. Whether it's winning a game, whether it's excelling at an exam, or it's taking their first steps or speaking their first word. And we hurt beyond hurt when our children get hurt. And most parents would rather have their own life be taken than to see their children broken and in pain. Or when a child goes astray, the disappointment and pain can be unbearable. So it's no surprise that Jesus teaches us and reminds us about God's extravagant love for us in this parable about a parent and two sons, connecting our shared experience of raising our children. It's a familiar story for most of us, because most of us probably know how children are like. If I tell a parable about fishing, I usually get half of people's glances. If I teach a parable about farming, I get another half a glance. If I teach about comic books and pop culture, and then I get a lot of confused faces. But here we are. Jesus tunes us in to something that we are familiar with, where a younger son demands that his father give him his inheritance, basically saying, I want you dead, and I want what's mine. The father probably hoped beyond hope that the son would use this wealth wisely, that he would recognize his love and remain with him. But the son runs off and lives a life at the largest way possible. One big party for as long as the money lasted. Most likely his friends went away as soon as the money was gone and he found himself with nothing. No money, no friends, no shelter, no food. And so he finally recognizes his faults and decides to go to his father, begging for forgiveness, hoping that his father would at least allow him to be a servant. Hearing this, instead of the anger and disappointment we all might be familiar with, we learn that the father, full of grace and mercy, ran to greet his son when he was still far off. His love for his son knew no bounds. Despite his son's rejection, he rejoiced with his son finally coming home. In his joy, he threw a wonderful party. For this is my son, who was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found. Friends, this is the God of our people. A God who deeply loves us so much that comes running to us and patiently waits for us and is so joyful when we come back. When we come to our senses, God celebrates extravagantly. Our sin, our rejection can cause great pain, but God forgives us completely and welcomes us back. Gesundheit. God bless you again. So I wonder, who do you identify with? Do you identify with the younger son? For maybe there was a time when you decided to leave this whole thing, this whole God thing. Maybe you wanted to live according to what you thought life was worth living. When we feel like this younger brother, we are reminded of this great news where God welcomes you, the whole you, with all your quirks, with all your scars, with all your bruises, and everything in between. God doesn't hold a grudge against you. Your past does not hold you back. And God doesn't constantly remind you of your sins. God pours out his grace, his mercy, and love upon you all. Or do you relate to the older brother? The older brother who wasn't so happy to see his younger brother coming back. And instead of joining his father in the celebration, he gets lost in his anger. He's been responsible. He's followed the rules. Doesn't he have a right to be a little resentment? However, when we look at this passage, we see that the older brother can't even get himself to forgive his brother. And his unforgiving attitude gets in the way of his own relationship with his father, with his brother, and becomes in danger of being lost himself. When we feel like this older brother, Jesus reminds us to shift our focus. The father in the parable does not berate or be overcritical with the older brother or defend the younger brother, but shifts the attention away from both brothers and focuses his attention on his love and bounty. So love and bounty. So I have had the privilege and joy of reading Lord of the Rings for the very first time, and I know that's a shock for many of y'all with the D&D and all that stuff beyond my background. And this week has been a joyful conversation with our small group, and we couldn't think of any people better when we talk about the big party and celebration than the hairy-footed people known as the Hobbits, and an interesting custom that they have. Where on a Hobbit's birthday, he or she does not receive gifts from the family and friends, but instead the Hobbit celebrates by throwing a huge party for the friends and family in the community and gives gifts to all the people coming to the party, not receiving any gifts for themselves. But celebrates extravagantly with food and wine and music and fireworks and community together. It's a celebration of the love and bounty the community has together. So, dear friends, let us live the lives of the hobbits for a time of celebration and a time to love extravagantly. For when we were lost and overwhelmed by the world's calling and focusing on ourselves, we come together to remind us that God reaches out to us, that calls us home, where it's not just you or me, your sin or my sin, my deserts or your deserts, but God is active, stretching, searching, and offering healing in the love that he has offered to all people. God is now calling us to be embracing the extravagant love into our being. And we're called to be out of our comfort zone, to get to know each other and this community and the world dearly, and make time and give witness and celebrate this healing love that God offers to us freely. Thanks be to God. And all of God's children said,
Amen.